Goodness, what a great service tonight. What a great service this morning. And what a great crowd tonight. I didn't realize it was this packed sitting up here. That's the joy of sitting in the backsliders area right back there. I said to you folks, hey, that's the backsliders area. I said, you got room? I might come back there and join you. I don't think there's any backsliders in here. God bless you. What a great church. I tell you, the only thing I'd change about tonight is I'd like more of it. I tell you, that choir. You see, you think that choir is everywhere in America since COVID. Our choir lofts are empty in America. It just breaks my heart. I have pastors call me and say, just can't get it going. They don't want to go to the choir. They won't want to come to practice.
Yeah.
It just breaks. I mean, the vast majority of churches are choirless. Now, I don't know, maybe it's different right here in this region of Georgia or something. But it's just, we've got churches. We have churches in America without pianists.
Yeah.
We have churches, and I'm not for this, but here's what they're doing. We have churches in America that are coming to an auditorium, sitting down, and they don't have a pastor, and they turn on our service and watch.
Yeah.
And that breaks my heart.
That's right.
I'm not their pastor, but I'm thankful they're at least trying.
Yeah.
My goodness, that you do not know. I know you don't know. You don't know what you have here. And you know, we're not vacationer people. We're not away from our church. It's so rare. But I'm in churches a lot throughout the week, and I love everywhere I go. I don't care if it's 25 people. I love it. I try to give my best,
yes.
Or if it's a large crowd. But I try to go and refresh and get refreshed. But I tell you, today you've taken us over the top, right, hon? We're loving it. We're just loving everything about it. Thank you, music people, soloists and the brother that solo this morning. I want you all to get packed up and come to California. Won't that be something? My wife said this morning, won't it be something we get to heaven, the choir up there?
Yes.
Have your choir sing in whatever language you're singing. I don't understand it, but whatever. You folks, you don't understand how great it is. I've always tried to hire, I don't have one now, I tried to, in the past, hire ladies from the South. To me, that down home is just so unassuming. You know, it's just so down home. It's just so friendly. Thank you all for calling the church type thing. You know, sometimes from the North or out in the West, yeah, this is the church. What do you want? I don't think that's true. But, you know, it's just you're wonderful, wonderful people. And thank you so much for giving us such a wonderful time. Thank you for the ladies' conference and investing in ladies and you great people, these kids singing. I just could go on and on. Your pastor, I tell you what, we love your pastor at North Valley and the big conferences that he preaches at for us, and it's packed. It's just amazing to see all those preachers from all over the country come, and they'll say, I've had so many this year. Now, Brother Gravely's coming, right? He's coming, right? I don't think we're going to have him back this year. He really didn't do a good job last year. He's coming. He better come. And I just joke with them, but always 100%. I just pray I could go on and on. That's a beautiful picture out there, that back window there. We ought to turn this auditorium around. I'll tell you, those trees, look at that. It's so beautiful. I preach till the sun goes down. What time does it go down here? 9 o'clock. We're going to have a good time. Popcorn will be coming through about 8 o'clock and root beer. Some of you folks watch our service, and I'm not saying you have to, but when you watch, are you eating popcorn? Sometimes I smell popcorn when I'm preaching. I think it's come from Georgia. But, you know, I like to, and thank you, Pastor. Oh, I love your pastor. We've been in here early. Bless his heart. We got on Thursday night. Ms. Treber get ready for the conference on Friday. And we have worn them out, but to be with them, they have refreshed us and encouraged us. And we've learned a lot. I've learned just being around here and how you folks do things. And I love it all. God bless all of you. That Brother Harris guy needs some help, but other than him. But I'd ask you to pray for us in California. God's been so good to us. We're We're the church where they made us move out of our auditorium 482 days. And that was a hard time. And when we were in the auditorium, they'd come in, all mask up the county, and CDC people, and they would count, and then they would put a fine on the door for meeting that morning for $5,000. They'd come back Sunday night and put a fine on the door for $5,000, and then they put a fine on the door for Wednesday night for $5,000. Those are hard days, and then they sued us. And could never meet with, they had five lawyers, we had a few lawyers. They could never meet with us in person. They only would do it in Zoom. And I would Zoom with them in a big conference room. I'd see them. They'd see me. The first meeting, the lawyers weren't there on our side, but they had all five lined up. And I wasn't thinking. I wasn't trying to be spiritual about it. I just wasn't thinking. I begin every meeting I have in my office with prayer, and I close every meeting with prayer. And I said, well, we're going to get started here, and I want to hear from you folks. Well, let's have a word of prayer. And I started praying, and I got thinking in prayer, I didn't ask them, and they're probably heathens. And then they got done. They said, thank you, Pastor, for praying. And then they got it. Now, the lawsuit was heavy and big. The next time our lawyers were there, and the county said this. They said, Pastor always prays when we begin. Pastor, go ahead and pray. That's the Lord. Yes. Not our lawyers, the county lawyers.
Yeah.
And we had to move outside. You know, God used that. They gave us all the money back, but said you had to spend it on the outside. We built a stadium, and the stadium was for the preacher way up high, probably 15, 18 feet up in the air, because we had parking lots this way and across the parking lots. They'd park bumper to bumper. I think there were 12, 15 rows across here and all the way back, then down the street. And then we had 9 tents up and fire pits for the winter. It got cold out there. We're not like Southern California. It's warm. It was cold. And blankets. And our people wanted church so badly.
Amen.
You know, when we got back in the auditorium, we couldn't have the choir outside. They wouldn't allow that. And we didn't have a sound system for it. Our people had to get in the car and listen on the radio for those in the car and honk the horn when they felt like saying amen. And that was kind of cool. But you know, we got back. Our choir and the orchestra. And when I say, and it's a large choir, it's a large orchestra. We've never made one announcement or one peal the last 2 years to get on back into the choir. It's just packed every time. Not enough chairs. You see, we lost something.
Yeah.
And when we got it back, we won it.
Yes.
We won it.
Yes.
And you've got something. You got something so special here. A special man of God and a sweet, sweet wife. And your wonderful kids and sons-in-laws. We had lunch at the house today. That was big for us. Those precious grandkids. My goodness. And, well, I love you, folks. Touchstone's good to see you back in church tonight. God bless you here. We're in church back home. Let's see. No, we're not yet. It's 3 o'clock. Is this clock right here, Pastor? I stopped. It said at 10 minutes to 12. That's not right this morning. Was that?
No, it quit while you were preaching.
Did it quit?
It was working before you started.
God cursed this clock, please. Don't let it work again. What time did I get? Was it after 12 I got done then?
1:30.
We would like all liars to come forward right now at the beginning of the service. Might as well bring your wife too, Pastor. Who knows? She's lying too, probably. She told me last time you preached a good message, and so maybe she's lying too. I'm not sure. I just pray the Spirit of God conveys to you, my wife, my heart, our appreciation. So wonderful. It is so great. I'm going to preach a message tonight that it's not a conference message. It's not an easy message. But if you will listen carefully, I don't know if I have the ability to deliver it properly, but it's an urgent message in my heart. We're in the book of Leviticus tonight. You know, Pastor, this is not working because it says 5 to 6.
Yeah.
Is there somebody that have a watch? I want to stay on, well, because I know what time you normally get out. Yeah. You want me done, don't you, brother? This is my twin brother. We have the same hairdos right there. God never covers his best furniture. And, right? Can't grow grass on a busy street, can we? You know, these lazy guys here, all these wigs that some of you guys are wearing, shame on you fellas. You know, before I read the scripture, we're in the book of Leviticus. We're actually two chapters. We'll go to chapter 14, but we're in chapter 13 and 14. Leviticus has become one of my favorite books because I really never comprehended it till about 10 years ago. And it just comprehended me. It got me more than I could understand it. I couldn't understand it all properly. But God showed me so many things in Leviticus about the holiness and the purity of God. I'm not going there tonight, but it's a tremendous, tremendous book. Tonight, before I preach, I did not ask Pastor. I should have. I'm sure he'll be okay with this. Everywhere I go, I ask people if you have a prayer request. And if you'll take, I hope I can say this, a tithe envelope or a card, not now, but before the service is over, I don't want your name, I don't want your address, I don't want your phone number, I don't want to put you on a mailing list. If you give me a business card and put the prayer request in the back, I promise, Pastor, I'll never call you, unless you're rich. I have a new ministry to rich people. I'm a burden for rich people, but I'll never call you. And but I find everywhere I go, and I promise people for 30 days, every day I'll pray with you. Amen. And I tell you, it breaks my heart. Almost all the requests, pray for my boy. He's lost. Pray for my three grandsons. Pray for my granddaughter. She became a lesbian. There's a broken-hearted grandmother. Pray for my husband. He left. Pray for my wife. She left. We're going through a separation right now. And I will not share your prayer. My wife doesn't know these prayer requests. I don't know if you even know I do that. But I'll do my best every day. I won't miss. And for 30 days, I'll pray for you and pray with you. And by the way, that'd be a good thing to do to your pastor. You know, he wants to pray with you. He wants to pray for you. And as shepherds, that's what we're hired to do. We will give ourselves continually to the Word of God and prayer. I can tell you this because I love work. I love working. I love working in the building projects and building buildings with our people and digging in the ground and plant. I love that. I can work 8, 10, 12 hours. I love doing that. Using a mattock or a hoe or something I can pick. I like doing that. But you realize I get more worn out praying than I do working out in the property. Prayer wrenches your heart, your emotions. But I do. I owe you so much for what your pastor has done for me, not just now, what he's done for our conferences through these years and what he's done for my church. And he's helped us so much. I want to read some scripture, and then if you'll promise to listen, and I won't be funny tonight or anything. I just want you to listen carefully. And look, I've talked too long. I see what time it is. I'll get moving here. Let's begin, and I'll just give you a few verses, and then we'll come back and we'll look at these two chapters together. In chapter 14, the Bible says, beginning in, let's begin in 32. This is the law, chapter 14, 32. This is the law of him in whom is the plague of leprosy. Verse number 34 says, I will give you a possession, I will put a plague of leprosy in the house. And he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seemeth to me that there is a plague in the house. And the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priests go into it to see the plague that is in the house, not to be made unclean. And afterward, the priest shall go to see the house. Our Father, it's very obvious that these are godly people. Some have been saved for dozens and dozens and decades of years. a half a century and more, many of them. And I thank you for their testimony. Some are new Christians. May they realize that Jesus is the way for a lifetime. Faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. And Lord, I hope and pray, I believe, I know it's the right message, but I hope I can deliver it to help the people of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Several years ago, I was preaching in a third world country. I preached all day Sunday and Monday, and the pastor said to me, he said, I'd like you to take you to visit with me. And we went to make a visit. When we got there, there was fence all around the property, large property. And there are huge signs there warning us. And we walked in, he said, now, Brother Treber, and I wasn't prepared to see what I was about to see. You are in a leper colony right now. And I saw all ages of people, male and female. I saw little children. I saw old people. I saw that their digits had come off on some of them. I saw some their toes or feet had come off. I saw some that their hands had come off, or their limbs had come off, or their legs had come off. Very sad thing to see. Do you know that leprosy is still very active in 14 countries of the world tonight? It's not really active in America, but we did have 225 cases last year in America. In the last 4 years, they've developed some treatment for it, and 16.5 million have been cured of leprosy. But there are 225,000 tonight that are dying with leprosy. It eats away at you.
Yes.
You know, for the Christian, we're on our way to heaven. We were shouting about it tonight. You were singing about it tonight. We have victory. We're going to heaven. But some folks invite leprosy into their home. I'd like you to take this week, if you have time, chapter 13 and 14. Chapter 13 and 14, think of this. The priest, who would be comparable to the pastor. The priest in these two chapters is mentioned 93 times. That priest, that pastor is important to your family. You need him. You don't need him just for funerals and weddings. You need him. You need his prayers. And you need his wisdom and his wife. And they have it. They're seasoned. They're certainly not old. Certainly not like I'm old. But I tell you, they are seasoned people. They know God. 93 times in two chapters. 93 times. If the priest must have been important. You'll find in this text, you'll find the word clean or cleansed are cleaned 42 times.
Yes.
Got to be clean.
Yep.
You'll find the word washed or wash or washing 13 times. I'm to be cleansed. I'm to be washed. You think of that. That is 55 times in two chapters. Get cleaned up, Jack.
Yep.
You're going to have to be cleansed, Jack. Leprosy's coming to your life. And by the way, we talk about a house or a home. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is a house too. This is the church house. And we have our house. We'll go to the house. I think you said, we'll go to the house and have lunch. I love that statement. We don't say that much out by our way. But I love that statement. The house. The house is like it's very important. The house is important. This house is important. This house is important. Did you know that you see in these texts the word house 33 times in these two chapters? You see the priest, the pastor, 93 times in this passage. You find unclean, unclean 27 times. My goodness, if you could see my Bible, these two chapters are all marked up because I want to get to these two chapters in the future and realize that my house, my life needs to be washed, needs to cleanse, need to be pure and ready to serve God. My home needs to be clean. Our house needs to be clean. The family needs to be clean. You know, tonight I'm preaching on leprosy in the home. And I see it as I travel this country, and your pastor does too. You see it as we look at our condition of our country. Who would think we would have a United States president on our Easter Sunday stand up and declare it a trans day? Who would ever think in America that would happen? Who would ever? I'm not against you watching the Olympics. I didn't see one second of it. But I heard about that opening, that it was the Lord's Supper. Was that what it was? And trans. Try that for any other religion. See how it goes. And our president said nothing. One political leader said, I was really moved by it. Evil people. And by the way, and I'm not trying to be rude to you, we have evil people in the White House and in the political office because we have lost the church house. Want to appeal to the world and want to look like the world and act like that. And I'm preaching to the choir. I know this is one of the premier churches in America, but we're caving and capitulating into every area. Let's look like the world. Let's act like the world. Let's dress like the world. Let's be influenced by it. Let's have a seminar and say, I love having shouting here today. I love having hands raised and tears. And I want to say a word for Jesus today. You don't see that in most churches today. It's like a seminar. Now you'll see on the screen today, what I want to talk to you about is, and it sounds like you're in a workshop instead of church. Now, I don't want to offend you. That's the spirit of the day. Don't want to hurt you. Don't want to say, I don't want to hurt you either, but I want to tell you the truth. Leprosy and the hope. We can see leprosy in our country. How it's eaten away at our heritage. But sometimes we can't see the leprosy in our own lives. And if we see it, we ignore it. My Bible today speaks to us about the sin of leprosy or the illness of leprosy. And I think you could go alphabetically. I will not, other than to start you. Tonight, there must be somebody that has the leprosy of anger in this room. There must be that leprosy of bitterness in this room. There must be that leprosy of carnality in this room, or deceit, or envy, or fear. I'm just afraid of everything. Or gossip. Or hatred. Or ill will toward another brother or sister in Christ. You know, I don't know what it is. You go all through the alphabet and name every sin and everything you can think about. 59% of children and young teenagers in America, 59% are into hardcore pornography. That's not an old, that's a brand new, updated in the last several weeks. 59%. The average child in America, not counting school, spends on a device 7 hours and 22 minutes a day on his cell phone. We're told, and we see it in America, kids come home from school, they don't go out. Remember those days? We don't have all this. You go play in the street. You play wherever you could play, and after school you played softball in the street, or you played basketball, or you played kickball, you played, you rode bikes, you played. They come home, and they shut the door, and they go in their room with their device. The vast majority of young people say, I cannot go to bed at night in my room without my phone. I feel insecure. There's leprosy. But then I wonder how many in God's house are into pornography.
That's right. Preach it, brother.
The fastest growing group of people into pornography today are women. We're in trouble, folks.
Yes.
And if a church like this doesn't hold the line, what's going to happen?
That's it.
Preaching in all these different southern states, but you never see another. We're the only steeple I could tell you about. I don't know of another steeple.
Yeah.
We don't have anything that looks like churches. Nothing's open. There's no, we're not running into people, traffic jam going. But I pass all these churches, and even tonight, all these churches on the way past here, and the parking lot's empty. I'm thinking, are they not having church tonight? And then we wonder why we're getting the people running for office that we have. And on every local level, every county level, state level, federal level. In the text before us tonight, God begins to deal, and he tells the priest, you have to help these families. Yes. You've got to go check their homes out. And he says about the first one, the leprosy in verse 4 in the house, and please try to follow it. I'll try to catch it, get us caught up with the time and get us out of here. The plague of leprosy in the house of the land of Israel. He that owneth the house. You see, we're, mom and dad, we're responsible.
That's right.
You own the house, you're responsible. I'm responsible. So come and tell the priest. You come tell the priest. See, well, you know, I'm sick. Nobody visits me. Isn't it something James says? If you're sick, you call the preacher.
That's right.
I'm leaving the church. He doesn't even call me. You're supposed to call him.
Yeah.
That's the way this thing works. Get quiet in here now. And he said, if you own the house, you call the priest and say, it seems to me. I would hope that a daddy or a mama would have enough common sense that it seems to me something's not right in our home. Get help. It seems to me. God's word's so powerful. There's like a plague in the house. You see that word plague? 61 times in these two chapters. It's a plague in the house. Watch this. The priest shall come, shall command that they, what's the next three words? The priest shall command that they, what's the next three words? See, God says, if you got leprosy in the house, it's a deadly disease, you have to sanctify the house. Sanctification is removal. Sanctification says you're going to have to empty the house. You're going to what do we need to do to go home tonight? What needs to go out?
Tell it. Yeah. Go ahead, preacher. That's good.
You know, I'm not saying you can't have a TV. I'm saying if the TV has you, get rid of the TV. If that remote is causing you to sin, get rid of the remote, get rid of the LCD, or LCD, is that what you call it? Get rid of the, we don't call them TVs anymore, do we? Whatever they're called. If there's liquor in the home, you're going to have to empty the house. If there's something that's going to destroy your life, you're going to have to empty the house. And so the priest says, go home and sanctify your house. See, the plague and all that is in the house be not made unclean. Afterward, the priest shall go in and see the house. He's going to come back to inspect again. And you owe it to have an open heart. Priest, pastor, come help us. D.L. Moody walked into his son Daniel's home. Daniel had gotten married, and his little bride, and D.L. Moody in the 1800s went and saw that his daughter-in-law said, come see, Dad, come see our house. We want you to see our house. D.L. Moody walked through Daniel's house with his young bride, and it was just, she had it so nice. And he said to his daughter-in-law, to his son, are you folks Christians? They said, well, Dad, of course we're Christians. He said, wouldn't know it. I don't see any Bible verse on the wall. I don't see any kind of picture on the wall. I don't see a Bible laying here on the table. And they were good people. But he told them, she said, I'm sorry. Our home needs to look Christian.
Amen. That's right.
And he taught him a good lesson that day. I think we ought to invite the if you notice, I remember as a boy the coffee table and the family Bible.
Yes,
we didn't use it, it was just there. We read our own Bibles. But now every chair in our house is focused on that television. Every, including our house, I'm sure. And that is becoming, we don't watch television. I mean, what do you see?
Yeah.
But we focus on that which is temporal instead of that which is eternal.
Yeah.
Are there gospel tracts by the door so when someone comes by and they get them a gospel tract? Several months ago now, and a man came to fix up the house, and I gave him a gospel tract, and I very weakly witnessed to him. I saw he was in a hurry, and I didn't want to stop him, and he was on a clock and all that. And my wife said, "You witnessed to him, didn't you? I heard you talking to him." I said, "Well, not very, very strong." Remember that a few months back? Not very strong. I didn't do a good job. She said, "Well, he's down there getting in the van right now. You better go get him." And I went out to the van. He opened the door. I said, I gave you this, but I didn't tell you enough about it. I said, "Do you ever think about, have you ever thought about when you die, where you're going?" Amen. And Pastor, he said, "You know, I have been thinking about that. I've been thinking about it. I don't know where I'm going. I mean, had she not told me that?"
Yeah.
And he goes, "I want to know." While his door was open and I witnessed him, and he a few moments later bowed his head and prayed and got saved. You know, I almost missed it.
Amen.
Do you have gospel tracts in the house? Do we have Bibles in the house? Do we have Christian music in the house?
Amen.
I mean, our homes ought to be filled. I was raised in the most amazing home. My dad was 90% deaf, but he didn't know sign language. He could hear with hearing aids. You know, it took him off at night. Man, I could scream. He wouldn't know. And it was just the best thing. But my dad was loud, and he'd get up in the morning, and he'd say, "Sing when I'm down in the bed sleeping, when the day is bright. Since come to my room, Jesus came." "Oh, Dad, no, no." He'd come back, "You're still in bed, Jack. Oh, there's a thing in my heart. I'm saying," I'd put the pillow on my, the guy drove me crazy. But glory to God, one day I had three kids. I did the same thing to them and tormented them. You pay back. Is there a song in your home? What has to be sanctified? Look what he says. Look what he says. He said, "I want you to know that you have to empty the house. What do you need to empty?"
Yeah, man.
Uh-oh. The plague is still there. So, verse number 37, "He shall look on the plague, and behold, the plague be in the walls." Oh, it's got in a little bit deeper. It's just not surface. It's down the wall of the house. In the hollow of the stakes, it's greenish, it's reddish, which is the side of the lower of the wall. And the priest shall go out of the house and the door of the house and shut up the house. Not only do we sanctify, if it's, you're going to have to shut your house down.
Yep.
We're running around too much.
Well, that's the truth.
What are we doing for fun tonight?
Yeah, go ahead.
Where are we going tonight? Where are we going this summer? Where are we going? I'm all for vacation. I'm all for all these things. But we're running. Daniel says in the last days we're going to be running to and fro. I'm running over here. I'm going over there. I'm on this thing. I'm out of church because I've got to go here. Hey, maybe it's just some time. Maybe you ought to, our homes need to be calmed down. Maybe we ought to sit around and play with our kids. Talk to our kids. When mom and dad, you pass away, grandma and grandpa, you pass away, your children ought to know everything about your testimony and your life and how you, my dad died, and I went to his file, and I pulled out, I knew the testimony, but I forgot a lot about, I pulled out that file, and it said, "I remember my father loaded up the wagon in Wisconsin with us nine kids and my mother who was blind and my grandpa and my dad. And he take the white, we had a white horse, and he rode us out to the country from the farm to the German Baptist church." And I remember coming home one night, one day, mother was up early in the morning making breakfast for those nine kids. My dad's name is a German name, it's Gottlieb, means God loves. They call him Gubby. My mother called him her hubby, chubby, tubby, gubby, but I'm not sure about all that. My dad was such a happy, godly Christian. And you know, my dad was just a little boy, and his blind mother was making breakfast there at a wood stove. And my dad was standing there, and she says, "Is that you, son?" She knew. He says, "You're troubled today. What are you troubled about?"
Yeah.
He said, "Mom, I'm not saved. I'm not going to heaven. And she stopped and she led him to Christ.
Yep.
You know,
yes.
Sometimes we just ought to become aware of the surrounding. What's going on with our kids? My wife taught me this. She was our principal for years till we had kids in our school. And she said, you don't have a child's attention until you have their eyes.
Yeah.
See these handsome preachers down here? I've got their eyes right now. That means if I got their eyes, I've got their ears. And I probably have their hearts too.
Amen.
You fellas are good fellas. I've watched you. What's your name? And how old are you?
Seven.
You married? What's your name?
Jackson.
Jackson. Right there, brother. My name is Jack. I got some money for you, brother. That's a $10 bill right there. Jackson, what's your real name? Jackson, I thought it was too. There we go. What's your name?
Grayson.
What's your real name?
Grayson.
Jackson. Who are you related to? Where is your mother or dad here, or grandma and grandpa, somebody here from your family? Where are you at? That answers everything right there. Your mom looks normal, but I'm not sure about... You know, these boys, if I don't get their eyes, I don't have their ears, and I don't have their heart.
Yes.
By the way, fellas, don't feel bad. We haven't eaten in 3 weeks. We have no money, my wife and I. I want you to take that, but don't. I've not slept in. I've slept under a tree for 3 weeks now. I can't pay my rent. Don't feel bad about it. I've had to walk. I've ridden my bike because we don't have any money for gasoline. Do you feel bad, Jack and Jackson? You don't feel bad about it at all, do you? No conviction? What about we came to the altar here and prayed about this right now? Tightwads, these Georgia boys right there. You know, I'd love it when we had kids at home. We'd shut the house down some nights.
Yes.
I'm not a board game. I'm not those. In fact, I like to cheat when we play. If you're pointing at your husband, are you pointing at your husband? I'm not a board game. And if I'm losing, we played Monopoly when we were young. I don't like playing. It's too long. But we played Monopoly. And if I was losing, I'd cross my legs or something and bump the whole board. So, how'd that happen? You know, I'm not. And we would play that. We never were able to play any things with, like, cards. We never played cards, but, like, Uno and those things. What are those cards? Are different ones. I play, what's that one you play the game and you try to guess what they're acting out? It's the ladies in our Sunday school class at the house, the ladies against the men. They didn't know. We kept winning the men. I just added an extra point every time it came to me. They didn't think the pastor was going to lie. That's all about playing. Are you going to cheat? You have to cheat. Cheat. No, kids. No. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you need to shut the house down and talk to your wife.
That's right.
You don't want to ask her, what's troubling you? Oh, no. No, don't do that. What you want to ask her, is there anything I can do for you?
Yeah.
And they don't have World War III. I knew you'd have a list for me. I knew you would. Do it. Sometimes we ought to just sit the house down and talk about, son, what's your favorite? What, you have a favorite Bible verse?
Yeah.
And he says, no, not really. Shame on you. Shame on you. Don't do that.
No.
I've wanted a life verse my whole life. I finally got it when I was 70 years old. And it's very obvious that God gave it to me through the years, and I began to see how he gave it to me. You know, if a child doesn't have a testimony, don't force them. When you shut the house down, you sing with your kids.
Amen.
Sing with them. And it doesn't have to all be children's choir. All of our 14 grandkids have great hymns of the faith they know.
Yes.
It wasn't "Oh for a Thousand Tongues," but it was something like that. One of our said, "Oh for a thousand tongues to sing." That wasn't it, but one of those like that. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. And they sing it with them. You know what you have to do when there's leprosy? You have to sanctify the house.
Amen.
Secondly, you have to shut the house. But what if it's deeper than that?
Yeah.
Well, he tells you. The priest and the, verse 39, shall come again in the seventh day and shall look upon it. And if the plague be spread in the walls of the house, and it goes even deeper, the priest shall command that they take away the stones of the plague that is in and cast the unclean place out. And he shall cause the house to be, what's that next word, verse 41? Scraped. You see, now the stones have to be taken out. First, just sanctify the house, and then you shut it down, but it gets deeper and deeper, and now you're scraping away. This is painful now. What is it that's going to, the leprosy, it's going to be painful for you to do this. And I can think of so many illustrations right now, but for the sake of time, you figure it out. What needs to be scraped out of our lives? It's sort of in a fiber of our life. And he said, I want you to scrape the house. And verse 42, and they shall take the other stones and put them in place of the stones. And they shall take the mortar and the plaster in the house. And the plague shall come again and break in the house afterwards. That he had scraped the house. And he's plastered it. Uh-oh, it's deeper yet. One, we sanctify the house. One, what do we do? We what? What do? We sanctify. We set the house apart. We cleanse it. We set apart the house. Two, we shut the house. For 7 days, calm the house down. And it's still there. It's deeper yet. You pull those stones out and you scrape it out. But here's a sad one. In verse 44, and I'm done. And the priest shall come and look, and behold, the plague spread in the house. It's still not, that it's not under control. It is a fretting leprosy in the house. And the house is unclean. This is really tough here, verse 45. And he shall break down the house. I'm with the letter S, to sanctify, to shut, to scrape, but I don't like this one. Give me a better S. You have to smash the house. Yeah. What is it in our lives? We just need to smash it. Yeah. If it's some device that's causing us to sin, you're going to have to live without the device.
That's right.
I'd rather have a marriage. And you sang this morning, was it the choir? Well done, my child. I'd rather hear that. And so I had a device that led me down a path, a secret life that no one knew about. I had a ghost account, and young people all over America have ghost accounts of the parents. I never knew. Because they know things, how to do things that you don't know. Because our houses are filled with leprosy. Sometimes some folks bring, and it's not, I'm sure not here, we buy these big palatial houses that we can't afford. And all what we do is work and work and work the house. You know, maybe it'd be better to get rid of the house and live in a one-bedroom apartment. And have the touch of God on your life and on your family, on your kids and on your marriage and in your church. I'm not suggesting you have to do, I'm saying maybe if things have us so busy because we have to have this car and this boat and this RV and this thing and that thing, and many of those things are good. But if it gets us away from God, maybe we ought to smash the boat or smash the RV or smash the cabin or smash. And if you can have it and use it for the glory of God, have it. But maybe some things ought to go. So we're out of time. You see, in closing, there's four steps to this, and each one gets harder. We start with just sanctifying it between me and God. And then we shut things down, and the whole house is shut down. And then we scrape it, and then we have to smash it. Verse number 47, he that lieth at the house shall wash his clothes, and he that eateth the house shall wash his clothes, and the priest shall come in. In closing, I'd say, number one, always involve the priest. Always involve the pastor. and his dear, always involve them. Get them in your life. I pastor in the Silicon Valley. When we went there, there was a lot of farm around us, but now it's all, everything that's been created with a computer is within 10 miles. You put 5 miles. You put a pin at where our church is, and within 1 mile, 2 miles, every major computer company is there. They're all there. Apple was formed there in the dormitories at Stanford University right by our church. Yahoo was formed there. eBay was formed there. Everything's formed there. Consequently, my church is filled with brilliant people. Our Spanish department, the other property, brilliant people, work at NASA headquarters and engineers. It's an amazing thing. A preacher said to me at a preacher's meeting in a big city on a Tuesday after the morning service, that question and answer time, they said, "Brother Treiber, how do you keep up with your brilliant people? They're so smart." I am not smart. I do not know how to use a computer. I have no idea how to use a computer. We must own 400 or 500 computers in my ministry, and all of our students have computers in the college and in our classrooms. I have no idea how to use one. Someone emails me, we have 100 radio stations, and I hand write back a letter, and somebody has to type it. Because I don't know if I could control a computer. Our policy and our staff is the same as the United States military. If you fail morally one time, you're done. And I don't want to lose my ministry over something I cannot control. I don't know. You say, "Well, you're a good Christian." No, I know, oh, wretched man that I am. I know, put no confidence in the flesh.
Amen.
I'm not saying you can't. My staff have them. We have to have them. But my task is that church. So I deal with people that are much smarter than me. They're brilliant. I mean, they're amazing. We have 100 people in the medicine field as nurses and doctors and technicians. And they're just amazing, the people. Engineers galore. So I'm not as smart as they are. But I said to those pastors, my job's not to be as smart as them. My job's to be a man of God for them.
Amen.
And so when they asked me a question, I could be filled with the Spirit, and I could talk to them. I can't make a will or make a trust, but I can talk to them about it. I can't tell them who to have to take their children, if both husband and wife are taken home to be with the Lord, but I can advise them they have to get somebody. I can't advise them that this seems like this is a good business decision, or I'd hold off right now. I don't think it's right. I don't believe in veto power. I don't believe I should have more power and just say, "No, you can't do it." I don't believe I'm God in their life. But I believe that I can pray with them. I believe I can try to walk with them and get to include the man of God. You need that man of God. Secondly, I'd say not only involve the priest, the man of God, but see, your house is important.
Yes.
And thirdly, pay the price. If you have to tear it down, tear it down. If it's infecting your family, get rid of it. And then I'd say lastly, continue to cleanse your home. My wife is a neat freak, like Mrs. Gravely is. We at our church, though we do it, we don't believe in spring cleaning. We don't believe it at our home or our church. We believe you deal with it every day.
Yes.
And every day she cleans the bathroom, and every day she cleans the counter, and we can't go to bed at night if there's dishes in the sink, and they have to be all done, and the floors have to be clean, because that's just the way she lives. We just stay up on it. That's why I try to keep the car. I try to keep it so it's not spring cleaning once a year. It's always clean.
Yeah.
It's always clean. And I think in our homes, we got to be cleansing our home. How did he do it? By the washing of the water by the word. You're wonderful people. This morning on Progression of a Backslider, and tonight I hope it would grieve me if you felt like I came across harsh to you, bad spirit, like critical of you. I would never come in here. I hope you didn't sense that I was being critical of God's people. You're a premier church with a premier pastor and his wife. But this old flesh is so frail, isn't it?
Yes.
It's so frail. We've been there 49 years in a very good, large-sized church. I've dealt with every sin imaginable. And sometimes, Pastor, I feel like I've just failed. And my church is, it's the best. They're godly, God-fearing people. But sometimes I think I've just failed. Because it seems like it's all the time there's a problem. There's a sin. There's a disappointment. There's tears. We're going to have to make sure there's not leprosy. Our temple.
Yes.
I wonder if we could stand.
Yes.
Our Father tonight, please work in